Well, brothers and sisters, from all the sharings and testimonies that have already been given, I was sitting over there thinking about it. You've all heard my talk, so I'm going to go sit down. We can go home early. Okay. Well, seriously, though. When asked to pick a topic for this week, I chose this one, accepting other people, because I believed it dealt with loving the person in front of you. And I thought, okay, I can do that. But then as I read this chapter and read it and reread it and read it, I found out that that was just part of the subject matter. I believe that this chapter centers around a short paragraph on page 61. We need to learn to forgive other people for making us suffer or disappointing us, and even to accept the problems they create for us as graces and blessings. The attitude is neither spontaneous nor natural, but it is the only one by which to achieve peace and interior freedom. Well, Jacques Philippe says we need to learn to forgive other people. Well, we know to do this. Alice just got up and said, hey, we know how to do all this stuff. We know it. And my gosh, in this chapter, Jacques Philippe tells us he's a man who states he's been in community for 25 years. And yet he states we need to learn to forgive other people. He can only be talking about teaching the heart, teaching the spirit, or getting what we know from up here in the head down into our heart and spirit. And then this other sentence he has in there. The attitude is the only one by which to achieve peace and interior freedom. The whole book is about interior freedom. And here he is telling us in this one paragraph, this attitude is the only one in which to achieve peace and interior freedom. This attitude he's talking about is a gift from God. It's like Alice was saying, we can't do it on our own. It has to... We have to surrender to God and allow God to move through us. Let me reread this paragraph. We need to learn to forgive other people for making us suffer or disappointing us, and even to accept the problems they create for us as graces and blessings. The attitude is neither spontaneous nor natural, but it is the only one by which to achieve peace and interior freedom. You know, each time we pray in Our Father, we say the following words: forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're actually asking God something like this: Lord, please forgive me for the wrong that I've done to you and to others, just as and in the same way that I have forgiven those who have wronged me. Well, on page 65, Jacques Philippe tells us the following. Forgiving means saying, this person has wronged me, but I don't want to condemn him. I don't want to identify with his fault. I don't want to take justice into my own hands. God is the only one who searches mind and heart and judges justly. And I leave it to him to weigh this person's actions and pronounce judgment. I want to look at him with eyes of hope, because I believe something can grow and change in him. and I continue to want his good. I also believe that from evil done to me, even if it seems irremediable, from a human viewpoint, God can draw good. So I also notice as I read this chapter that Jacques Philippe quotes Paul's letter to the Corinthians four times. In particularly, he quotes Paul's passages that describe love. Now, Paul, in these passages, is particularly writing about agape love. So I'm going to read these passages and a few others to you in a somewhat expanded format. So agape love, what is it? Agape love is God's love. It's unconditional love. Agape love is God. So what does it look like? Well, now we get into Corinthians. Agape love is patient. Agape love is kind. Agape love is never jealous. Agape love is never boastful. Agape love is never proud. Agape love is never arrogant. Agape love is never rude. Agape love never insists on its own way. Agape love is never selfish. Agape love is never irritable. Agape love is never touchy. Agape love is never resentful. Agape love never holds a grudge. Agape love does not notice when others do it wrong. Agape love is never glad about injustice. Agape love rejoices in the right. Then a little bit from Philippians. If you love someone with agape love, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost is. If you love someone with agape love, you will always believe in him. If you love someone with agape love, you will always expect the best of him. If you love someone with agape love, you will always defend him. Agape love does nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Agape love places a higher regard on the well-being of the other person more than the regard for self. Agape love never ends. You guys remember the great commandment that Jesus gave us in the Gospel of Matthew? There's a little expanded version. With agape love, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With agape love, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. With agape love, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. And with agape love, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Agape love is how the Father loves us. Agape love is how we are to love the Father. Agape love is how we are to love each other and every person we know or meet. Yes, we know this. But remember, Jacques Philippe stated that we need to learn this. How much of what we know is head knowledge, and how much is heart knowledge? Let me tell you a story. Before World War II, in Nazi Germany, A dear, sweet German pastor was abducted from his church. He was suspected of helping and hiding Jews. He was immediately taken to prison and put in a jail. There was no hearing before a judge, no trial, not even time to call his family to let them know what had happened to him. For weeks, this gentle pastor asked the prison guard if he could use the payphone at the end of the hall to call his wife and family and at least let them know he was alive. The guard, however, was a contemptible man who hated anyone and everyone that had anything to do with the Jews. He not only wouldn't let the pastor use the phone, he determined in his heart to make the pastor's life as miserable as possible. This despicable guard purposefully skipped the pastor's cell when meals were being handed out. He made the pastor go weeks without a shower. He kept the lights burning in the pastor's cell so he couldn't sleep. He blasted his radio, hoping the noise would finally break the pastor. He used filthy language. He pushed him. He shoved him. And when he could, he arranged for the pastor to have the most difficult job in the labor gang. The pastor, on the other hand, prayed continually so that he would not become hateful towards the guard. He prayed instead to be able to love this guard with God's love. As the months went by, whenever he could, the pastor would smile at the guard. He would thank him when his meals did come. And when the guard was near his cell, the pastor would tell the guard about his wife and children. He even questioned the guard about his family and about his goals for life. And one time, for a quick moment, he had a chance to tell the guard about God's love. The guard never answered a word. But obviously, he heard it all. After months and months of unconditionally loving this very bad guard, God's love finally broke through. One night, as the pastor was again quietly talking, the guard cracked a smile for the very first time. The next day, instead of the pastor's cell being skipped for lunch, the pastor got two meals. The following evening, he was allowed not only to go to the showers, but to stay as long as he wanted. The lights began going off at night in his cell, and the radio noise ceased. Finally, one afternoon, the guard came into the pastor's cell, asked him for his home phone number, and the guard personally made the long-awaited call to the pastor's family. A few months later, the pastor was released. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe that this talk given today was coincidentally on Divine Mercy Sunday. Perhaps the Lord has brought to mind someone, or perhaps many, that need mercy from you. You know, Sister Faustina wrote the following in her diary. Yes, The first Sunday after Easter is the Feast of Mercy. But there must also be deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. You must not shrink from this or try to absolve yourself from it. In closing, please recall what Jacques Philippe said. Forgiving means saying, this person has wronged me, but I don't want to condemn him. I don't want to identify him with his fault. I don't want to take justice into my own hands. God is the only one who searches mind and heart and judges justly. And I leave it to him to weigh this person's actions and pronounce judgment. I want to look at him with eyes of hope because I believe something can grow and change in him. And I continue to want his good. I also believe that from evil done to me, even if it seems irremediable from a human viewpoint, God can draw good. Yes, brothers and sisters, we need to learn to forgive other people for making us suffer or disappointing us, and even to accept the problems they create for us as graces and blessings. The attitude is neither spontaneous nor natural, but it is the only one by which to achieve peace and interior freedom.